I am Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our daily community meditation, where today we're talking about being knit together. We're going to be taking a look at a couple passages of scripture today, coming from Ephesians chapter 4 and Colossians chapter 2, talking about how the body of Christ, everything is supposed to be connected to the head, but then it's held together, it's knit together by the connective tissue, by the joints, by the tendons, by the ligaments. And if you look in these passages of scripture, it talks about this. There's a connection between this and seeing growth in our life, that the body grows together in love. And so we're going to be taking communion over this today, asking God for his wisdom and insight and understanding into what these passages of scripture mean to us, how to practically walk out these scriptures in our life. Now, a few weeks ago, I felt like God was telling me something which maybe I didn't want to hear exactly at the time, which was, you don't understand how to be strong. And I feel like since that time, God's been teaching me about a little bit more about how our bodies physically work. And this idea of how our body is knit together and the importance of the tendons and the ligaments is something he's been teaching me about. So we're going to be asking for wisdom and insight into that as well. But why are we taking communion every day? About 10 years ago, I had pretty much no connection with God whatsoever. I had pretty much no spiritual life. My life was very unbalanced. I was pretty much just doing life on my own without God, doing whatever I thought was best. And my life really wasn't going the way that I wanted to go. I was stressed all the time. I had a lot of weight and pressure on me. I was running my personal training gym business. And just the weight and pressure of the business was on me. In several months, I was losing thousands of dollars a month. And I just remember going for a walk with my neighbor, through the neighborhood with my wife one day, and just telling her over and over, there's got to be a better way to live. There's got to be more to life than this. Shortly after that, I came across a challenge to start reading one chapter from the book of Proverbs every day. Proverbs has 31 chapters. So on day one of the month, you start with chapter one. Day two of the month, you read Proverbs chapter two. You continue like that to the end of the month, and then you start back over again. Well, I had been doing this for a few months. And then one day, this verse in Proverbs 13:22, it just seemed to jump off the page at me. It says, a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. And that verse got me thinking, what's the most valuable thing that we could pass on to future generations? After some time of just thinking about it and meditating on it, I came to the conclusion that the most valuable thing we could pass on would be wisdom or teaching or training for how to truly live. And so I made a commitment that day. I'm going to create manuals or lessons or systems, teaching and training for all the different areas of life. Areas like purpose and health and family and finances, order, time, community. I want to create manuals and lessons and systems for each of these areas. But really, when I got started, I had no clue where to start. But I began to see God. I began to press into him. And he began to supply. He began to show up. He began to teach me. My relationship with him just began to grow exponentially from that point on. And over the course of about 10 years now, it's turned into this whole program we have called the Abundant Life Blueprint, with books and courses and partners. And out of everything that we do in the Abundant Life Blueprint, the most important thing is daily communion. Daily communion is what I call the number one table turner for all of life. It has the ability to just turn things around and change the trajectory of our lives going forward. Jesus says, as often as you do this, remember me. Over and over, we see in the Old Testament, God tells the people, don't forget me. Don't forget your covenant with me. It helps us to abide in him. It helps us to stay connected to him, as we'll see today, so that our lives produce much fruit. We grow together. We stay knit together. The Apostle Paul says, every time we take communion, we're proclaiming the death of Jesus, which in the case of a will or an inheritance, nothing happens until you prove the death. So in a way, communion is like an activation of all these benefits that are found in the new covenant. And I found personally, communion can be this opportunity where we take these scriptures that God has given us, these promises that God has given us, and we can activate them in our life, believing we receive his help to walk in those promises from this point on in our life. And it's this opportunity to combine the spiritual principles of the sacrifice of Jesus, to pull that into our mind in remembrance and combine it with something practical and physical that we actually do. There's something powerful about the physical aspect of this. You think about in your house, you probably got certain things that trigger memories in your house. Maybe something you see, something you smell, something you touch. These physical things trigger memories on the inside of us. Well, in a similar way, communion The cracker and the juice can stir up these memories on the inside of us to help us remember and not forget. But it's also important we take it the right way. Every time we take communion, to take it with the fear of the Lord, with deep awe and reverence and honor and appreciation for the sacrifice of Jesus. And I think it's important we remember both sides of the cross. On one side, we remember the lead up to the cross. God didn't have to send Jesus. He could have left us on our own, separated from him forever. But he chose the way of love. He chose to send his one and only son. Jesus was willing to come. He's willing to humble himself and be obedient even unto death on a cross. He's rejected. He's mocked and ridiculed. He's betrayed by his own disciple. Spit on, hit, whipped, nailed to the cross. And worst of all, I believe, he's separated from God. He felt the cup of God's wrath poured onto his body. He was destroyed by God. But then he's raised back to life. He's victorious over death, and that same victorious power now lives on the inside of us. He makes us right and holy and perfect in God's sight through his one sacrifice. He connects us eternally back to God. We can have this personal relationship with him. Yeah, I think it's important we remember both sides of that. So the process we typically use, we start with about a 2-minute long prayer. That's mostly scripture coming from Ephesians chapter 1 and the prayer of Jabez found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And then we take a few minutes to examine ourselves. Because the Apostle Paul says some people are weak and sick and they die early because they don't examine or judge themselves before taking communion. And if communion has the power to do that in the negative, I believe it has the power to do the opposite of that in the positive if we take it the right way, to make us healthy and strong and give us long life. And then after our time of communion, we've been talking about some practical physical workout tips and advice. Because I truly believe physical exercise is meant to teach us how to exercise our faith. It's a physical expression of it. Teaches us how to receive this grace by faith and to experience God doing the work through us. And the most we understand how to do that, we can take those same principles and apply them into the other areas of our life. So let's get started with our prayer. And then we'll get into our time of communion after that. Heavenly Father, I pray for all those who are watching or listening, their families, all those connected to them, and all of our church and governmental leaders. I thank you for releasing us from darkness and transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. I thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time ever began. And I thank you that Jesus was smitten for us so that you could fight for us. And I keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know you better, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us, and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe. That same power that you exercised when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet and made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And Father, I ask you to bless us, to make your face shine upon us and let us find grace and favor in your eyes, to expand our borders and our territory, to expand our capacity to receive your purpose and grace, your love and your goodness, and to let it flow through us so that we do good and are a blessing to people all over the world. I ask you to send us opportunities today to do good and be a blessing. Help us be sensitive to those opportunities. I ask you to keep your hand on us and help us do today what's right and best in your eyes and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. We ask you to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders and keep us from evil and pain. Through the mighty name of Jesus, amen. You know, just the other day, I was thinking about this prayer. We've been doing these daily communion meditations every day for over a year now. And I was just thinking back over that year And just all of the ways that I've seen God fulfill on this prayer, this simple little prayer, just a couple minutes long, I've just seen him fulfill this prayer just over and over and just keep taking it to new levels. So if you haven't been praying this prayer, I just want to encourage you, start praying this prayer regularly. I think you'll be amazed at the impact it has. Just over time, you keep doing this consistently, what it's going to do. We're going to go through the other half of prayer. This is our time to examine ourselves. Are we making today a masterpiece? Are we making today a masterpiece? Because we have to have this eternal perspective with God. But our relationship with him has got to be brought down into today. It's got to impact today. The things that we do, the things that we say, the things that we think about, the decisions that we make. And masters of anything are simply masters of the fundamentals. That's where we talk about executing these four fundamentals and bringing some presence and some energy and some fun into these fundamentals today. So our first one, let's get positioned in the light today. This is the on-off switch. Either we're in the light or we're in the darkness. And every day we got to keep repositioning ourselves back into the light. It has to happen every day. And we're going to start with humility. Jesus says, you want to be great in the kingdom of heaven? You got to humble yourself like this little child. Just simple childlike faith and humility that simply just believes and trusts in God. We're going to humble ourselves in relationship to God. We're going to humble ourselves in relationship to other people. Because it's the humble who are given grace. It's the humble who are exalted and promoted. And we're going to receive this forgiveness from God. We're going to forgive ourselves in the middle. We often forget to forgive ourselves. And we're going to let that flow through us to other people, giving them the same love and grace and forgiveness that God has given us. And we're going to take our position in love today. Kind and patient and gentle, always assuming the best, keeping no record of wrongs, delighting in the truth, always hoping, always trusting, always persevering, because love never fails. And we're going to take our position in gratitude and praise today, one of the greatest expressions of faith. And it's one of the easiest ways to just maintain our positioning all day long, is to stay positioned in gratitude and praise. And getting in position is a big deal, because when we're in position, it puts us in position to receive. Imagine a quarterback and a receiver. The quarterback's throwing a pass and the receiver runs the wrong direction. He's out of position to receive. And when we get in position, we're stepping into the light. We're stepping into Christ. And God has taken everything that he has and he's given it all to Jesus. And we get this amazing opportunity that we get to be in him today. So what's in there? His spirit and power and presence, his love and peace and joy. His mind and wisdom, his health and energy, his kingdom and purpose, time and finances, it's all available today. But we have to learn how to receive it by getting in position. And then we're going to learn how to get it flowing through us out into the world, where we see the fruit of it, the result of it in our lives. God's got this abundant supply stored up for us in heaven, waiting to be revealed through us. And we got to learn how to get that flowing through us in our lives. So our first step is to get in position. Our second step is to magnify the light. To magnify is to make bigger or greater. And we're going to expand the capacity. I think of this like the dimmer switch. First, we're going to turn the lights on. Then we're going to turn up the brightness of it. This is going to expand the capacity where God can flow more of all these good things through us. It's also going to get this new covenant rooted and established in our hearts, where we have hearts that understand God's grace. It makes us more fixed and consistent and immovable when the issues and pressures of life come our way. And to magnify, it's all about what we focus on. Where's our focus and attention throughout the day? I think of it as meditation. When I think of meditation, I think of constant repetition. And you've probably had this example before. You had some issue or problem. The more you thought about it, the more you toiled away in your mind trying to figure it out. The more you magnified it, the more you talked about it and thought about it, it seemed like the problem grew bigger and bigger. Got no closer to the solution, usually. Well, that same principle works in the other direction. If we'll magnify God instead of the problems, he's going to grow bigger on the inside of us. So how are we going to do it? We can magnify God's word. We can magnify his unfailing love and his faithfulness, his mighty works that nothing's impossible with him. We can magnify our righteousness in Christ. We've got peace with God. We've got his blessing and favor on our lives. We could magnify every good thing that he put within us. We've got this treasure in jars of clay. And just stay focused on all the things that are going well. Because what God started, he's going to finish. He's going to see it through to completion. He's going to sustain it by the power of his word. Now, this is not denying that there's issues or problems. It's simply choosing not to toil away in our mind, magnifying those issues and problems. Instead, we're going to let them go. We're going to give them to God, and we're going to magnify him as bigger than those issues and problems. But he does give us a choice. We could choose not to do any of this. We could stay stuck in pride and rebellion, insisting on our own way. Bitterness, unforgiveness, resentment, pouting, complaining, venting, magnifying all the ways people have wronged us, just toiling away in our mind, trying to figure everything out, rather than resting and trusting in God. And that's where we're going to learn to recognize the symptoms. When we're out of position or we're magnifying the wrong things, it's going to produce some symptoms and side effects in our life. We might have the tendency to retaliate at people or snap at them. We might withhold good things from people because they did something we didn't like. So I'm not going to do good for them. We might avoid people or give them the silent treatment. And none of that is the way of unconditional love and grace. On the inside, you'll feel all this heaviness and weight and pressure, like it's all sitting on you. Might have feelings of hopelessness or helplessness or powerlessness, like you're trapped or you're stuck and it seems like there's no way out. You might say things like, you know what? It's just never going to get better. This is always going to be the way it's going to be. No hope for the situation. Low energy is another big symptom of this. I think of it like a black hole. It just sucks the energy right out of you. Then emotionally, there's the fear and stress and worry. We're toiling away in our mind, rolling things over and over in our mind. We're dreading things in the future, things that'll probably never happen, probably just things we're imagining in our own mind. But when we take our position in the light, there's this rest in our soul. There's this fullness and completeness in him. And when we rest, God goes to work. And now everything is free and easy and effortless. You feel his peace and his joy and his love and his energy and his mind and wisdom, his health, all just begin to flow through you. All of a sudden, we got more than enough time. We're trusting in him financially. He becomes our source of supply for everything. And all of a sudden, we've got hope in any and every situation because we've got God with us. And he just begins to effortlessly bring these beautiful solutions into our life. I believe he's got these beautiful solutions to the problems we face, and they're stored up in heaven. He's got them waiting, ready to go, stored up for the perfect time to be released in our life. And just learning to rest and to trust in that. Now, if all this weren't enough, God gives us this amazing gift of grace. If we ever get off track, it just takes a moment to turn it right back around. Every day, life's throwing stuff at us to try to knock us out of position, to try to get us to magnify the wrong things. And sometimes we miss it. And if we do, it's learning to recognize those symptoms quickly and turn it right back around. How do we do it? We start with humility. Father, forgive me, I've missed it. We forgive ourselves. If we need to say we're sorry to somebody else or reconcile with somebody else, we take those steps. And then we just start praising and thanking him for his grace and his goodness and his love. And I like to pray this very simple prayer. Father, thank you that what you put within me is more than enough to handle whatever's coming my way today in a beautiful, graceful way. Help me to tap into it and cultivate it and see it flowing at a greater level in my life. You go through that simple process. You'll feel that weight lift off you. You feel the peace and the joy and the love just wash over you. You feel your energy and your courage and your confidence just begin to rise up. It's a beautiful thing. And then our third fundamental, we got to stay tuned in today. Every day, God's trying to teach us and train us, but we got to stay tuned into him. Often he speaks to us in just those little soft nudges on the inside. Just staying tuned in and sensitive to what he's trying to show us today. My favorite way to do this is with a journal before bed. And lately, we've talked about installing what we call some filters at the top of our journal. These filters are just short phrases or statements that we keep writing every night to keep reinforcing God's standards for our life. These filters are a commitment to walk in these new standards, this new way of living that God has given us. So it might look something like this. God is working continually for my good. And I'm going to do continually good for others. And you might just keep rewriting that every day. We talked about installing new filters every month. Then as you're going throughout your day and you're tempted to worry, you're tempted to stress, you got that reminder. Wait a minute, God's working for me behind the scenes. I might not be able to see him do it, but I know he's working. When someone does something to push your buttons or they get under your skin, maybe they wrong you in some way, and you're tempted to snap at them or retaliate at them or withhold something from them, we've got this reminder. Wait a minute, God doesn't do that to me. He does continually good for me. I'm going to do the same for others. I'm going to give them the same grace God has given me. It helps us to navigate throughout the day. And then I like to start my journal with gratitude and praise to get in position, and then to magnify. What went well today? What are all the ways I saw God showing up today? Because the more we look for them, the more of them we're going to see. And then I like to ask this question, God, what were you trying to show me today? And just think back over the day, reflect on the day, get still and listen for a couple minutes. Whatever comes into your mind, just begin to write those things down. It's very important to get it out of our heads and onto the paper, because it helps us to remember and not forget. And then we got to stay tuned in throughout the day. If you ever feel like you're losing that connection with him, just take 1 to 2 minutes. Just slow down, take a couple of deep breaths, get aware of his presence with you. Think of it like plugging in a phone. We're going to get charged up or powered up in him again. And then the final thing I've learned to do in my journal is to plan out the upcoming day with God. And I've learned to stick with, what do I know to do today? Because I learned sometimes I was getting out ahead of God. I'm toiling away in my mind, trying to figure things out, trying to force things to happen ahead of schedule, taking action on things that I really don't quite know what to do just yet. And I was getting out ahead of him. On the other side, sometimes I was procrastinating on things that I knew to do. And I was getting behind him. And so I've learned to stick with, what do I know to do today? And that becomes the plan for the day. And then we wake up like a kid on Christmas morning, excited for the day. And we remember this very important principle that the first thing out of our mouth every morning sets the tone for the whole day. And as I began to learn about this principle, I began to seek God. What's the best thing for us to say first thing in the morning? And I felt like he was taking me back to the very beginning of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1. What's the first thing we see God speak in the Bible is, let there be light. And so I've started implementing this very first thing in the morning, the first words out of my mouth, let there be light. And then I like to add, this is the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and I'm going to be glad in it. And it's amazing how just that simple little thing just sets the tone for the whole day, just brings a different energy into the day. And then we're going to start walking out that plan together with God today, with full confidence in him, just that simple childlike faith. He's right there with us every step of the way. And we're going to rely and trust on him to help us meet the demands of the day today. We don't have to do it on our own. And when we get to that place of confident faith, his grace just begins to surge for us. He begins to go to work. He begins to bring these beautiful solutions into our life. We get to rest and he gets to go to work. And beauty is attractive and magnetic, and just begins to pull more and more of everything God has for us into our lives. So let's take a look at these scriptures today. So like I said, I felt like God was showing me a little bit ago, you don't understand how to be strong. And I feel like as he's been teaching me, he's been starting to teach me already. One of the things he's been teaching me about is just the joints and the connections and how the body is knit together. So this is Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 through 16. And I got two different versions on here for some context. The first one is the New King James Version. It says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into all things, into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. Now, lately we've been talking about God supplies, and I found this very interesting. You're going to see all these connections in the Bible where it talks about joints supply. Joints supply. We're going to be asking God for insight into that today. What every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its work, by every part does its share. And it causes the growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Now, the NIV says, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Now, Colossians chapter 2, verse 19 has some similar languaging in it. The New King James says, "And not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by the joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God." So we see these concepts here, being connected to the head, and everything is connected through the joints and ligaments. Everything is nourished and supplied and knit together by the joints. And that combination of the head and being knit together is what causes the growth and the increase that comes from God. The NIV says, "And not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God." So Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful for these verses today. And we're asking for your help to give us wisdom and insight and understanding and knowledge of what these scriptures mean for us, to reveal and open up these scriptures for us, to know what they mean, how we can practically walk in this and apply this in our lives. Help us stay connected to the head. And specifically, I want to understand, Lord, the joints and tendons and ligaments, this concept of how the joints supply and nourish and are knit together, and the connection of that with growth, of our growth, how the body is built up in love through the system. So Heavenly Father, we thank you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's just take a moment to remember. Let's remember the lead up to the cross. God didn't have to send Jesus. He chose to. He chose the way of love. Jesus was willing to humble himself, even unto death on a cross for us. He's whipped and hit and spit on, nailed to a cross. Worst of all, he has the cup of God's wrath poured onto his body. He was destroyed by God. But then he's raised back to life. He's victorious over death. And that same victorious power now lives on the inside of us. He makes us God's children. He connects us back to God, knits us together with him. We can be right and holy and perfect in God's sight because of his one sacrifice. So Father, we're just so thankful for this bread and what it represents. And we ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your bread, you can take your bread. Then after supper, Jesus took the cup. He said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many." The Bible tells us without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. He's released us from darkness. He's transferred us into the light. We can have this personal relationship with God. And I believe as we experience God unfolding these verses for us, teaching us and training us and growing with this growth and increase that comes from him, I believe it just helps us to know him that much more, to know his heart and his goodness and his love that much more. So Father, we thank you for this cup and ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your juice, you can take your juice. All right. These joints and tendons, talking about our physical bodies, these joints and tendons are a big deal, I think. It's something I had previously, we talked about getting strong, increasing the strength in our muscles and physical body. But to be honest, I think God was right. I had overlooked the importance of the joints and tendons, building up the structure of the body first. And I think it's very important. We build up the joints and tendons and ligaments first, and then we focus on increasing the strength of the muscles. I think that comes first. Now, how do you do it? I think you got to be take a more gentle approach. You got to give your body some time to build the structure of your body. So don't be in a hurry. Sometimes we can push the weights too much, where the muscles might be able to handle it, but the joints and tendons are not ready yet. We got to give it some time. Take your time increasing your weights. Build it up over time. We're going to build this body God has given us over time. We're going to invest into it every day. We're going to build it over time. We're going to build the structure of the body. And then once the structure is there, the muscles can get strong real quickly. But I hope this has been helpful for you today. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint, you can go to theabundantlifetrainingcenter.com.